This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Everyone, you are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bahi Yusuf, Ian McNally, and they are in to talk about Disney's latest foray into live action. We are looking forward, I use that very loosely, to Guy Ritchie's Aladdin. We saw Christopher Robin last year, and now we have Tim Burton's version of Dumbo.
Welcome, baby Dumbo. We're all family here, no matter how small.
You have something very rare. You have wonder. You have mystique. You have magic. Wow! Come with me. Together, we can soar on an elephant's wings.
All right, so what does it mean now that we no longer have an animated flying elephant and we have a CG flying elephant? What does it do?
You're better off watching the animated flying elephant?
No. Ooh, strong words right off the
bat.
Yeah, just at the start.
Just opening it strong.
I don't know. I think that the elephant works fine. It's just everything around the elephant is
That's not true.
So great. I mean, Disney obviously need to update the original a little bit because if you look back at it, it is problematic for tons of reasons. Not just the racist crows. I didn't realize that like all the work hands in the original are all African-American and don't get proper animation. Like they don't get eyes. They don't get eyes. They're all just like these shapes.
Yeah, but like to me, it was just also this idea that the focus is on the animals.
And but all the white characters have eyes and ears and mouths and stuff, which is weird. So, I mean, obviously Disney, this is an exercise in being able to bring it to more audiences without it being racist. Yeah. But what they've added, it doesn't really feel worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about the original animation from 1941. And to my surprise, that original animation was only about 67 minutes long, so it's just over an hour. And this one's two and a bit.
Actually, 63 minutes feels about right for the story of Dumbo.
Absolutely, you're right.
Because it's a fairy tale, basically.
Yeah,
but even that, if you watch it now, it's slow.
I always thought Dumbo was slow.
Yeah,
I mean, and it was back in the days where they did kind of take their time. If you watch Pinocchio now as well, it really takes its time to develop, which is, I mean, it's okay.
It's part of
our childhood.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting way to tell a story, especially to children, right? In this day and age of just like upfront, big and strong, keep everybody interested every
Pink
3 seconds.
Unicorns, glitter.
Yeah. So that pacing of the original one, there wasn't any much dialogue even in the original animation. There was just, you know, it was music, there were musical interludes, there's all these
Well, there was the auntie elephants.
There was the auntie elephants. There's also the pink elephants, which was great, which they tried in this movie. It didn't.
They homage it, and like they don't get Dumbo drunk, which is good, but it's equally as disturbing as the original was, I think. That's one of the few homages that worked. There's other ones that it's like, why even bother? Like they do have hints of the mice in the kind of page boy outfits, but they're in it like twice.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything.
Anything. None at all. You wouldn't even call them cameos. They would just appear.
So the story is essentially the same of Dumbo, the circus, slowly learning to fly. They've tacked on a storyline with Colin Farrell and his two kids. The circus is failing, so there's also another kind of storyline with Danny DeVito and Michael Keaton coming in to kind of offer to buy up the troupe and put them in a Disneyland-style theme park.
It's a Batman reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And I think the two of them are probably the best thing in the movie.
And that's saying a lot because they were really hamming it up.
They were, but there's glimmers of what would... I don't know whether this was the heavy hand of Disney's corporate on this. I mean, they're doing a movie about an evil theme park owner.
Yeah, I thought that was a little... I was surprised. I thought that was a little close to home for them.
Okay, look. So I haven't seen it yet, but I have seen lots of Tim Burton. And so far, I've not heard either of you mention his name. Is it because, I mean, Tim Burton has a very specific style of, I mean, a specific visual style. We all know that. But he's also got quite a specific storytelling style. Mm. Is there no Tim Burton-ness in here?
Pretty much. I mean, if you're looking at his
That's so weird. But
if you look at his last couple of movies, when he does what he's allowed, what he seemingly gets the money to do, what he's allowed to do, he doesn't do it the way he used to. I mean, we're talking about Beetlejuice 2 is coming up that he's going to work on soon. But like Big Eyes, I haven't seen Big Eyes, but Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children doesn't feel like a Tim Burton movie. It feels
Big
like
Eyes
somebody.
It's quite,
yeah. But Miss Peregrine's feels like somebody doing Tim Burton.
I think for me, the last real Tim Burton movie that I feel like is his is probably Willy Wonka, right?
Well, I was thinking of Big Fish. Which is why I asked specifically about Tim Burton, because when I saw the Dumbo trailers, it just screamed Big Fish at me. It was so Big Fish.
Right. And there's moments where I was reminded of that, where they have the circus's winter home ground and all this kind of stuff. There's moments there, people just walking around in that long grass and thinking, you know, you got the freaks and the strongmen and everything. It feels like it's Big Fish, but it doesn't go down that route. There's all these tantalizing hints of what they could do.
It feels like there's a much better story in there somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. The daughter has this whole thing about science versus like the hokiness of the circus, but like it's hinted at here and there. It doesn't go anywhere.
It's just used like a Disney prop, right? Yeah. Oh, she's a scientist. She doesn't believe in
Look,
magic and all that.
Girls can do STEM.
Yeah. But it in this point where...
It doesn't save the day, which is where it should do in this kind of story.
She doesn't go anywhere with it. Yeah.
And then alternatively, they have, you know, the bond between the troupe of entertainers and Dumbo comes to save Dumbo in the end. That bond's not built over the movie.
You never saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm so sad.
I was sad.
Listening to this review, I'm so sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's meh. It's not bad as such, but it's just like you're watching it going, why isn't this more engaging? I mean, they're going to tease out Dumbo flying. That's going to take a while anyway because you got to build that. Mm. And it's not as much misery experience 2019 as the original is, but it's still just like, get to it.
And I think that problem is that there's no real building up of emotion relationship between the audience and Dumbo and Dumbo and the other characters. Mm. Everything just sort of like moves along and then suddenly you're at the spot. Yeah, it literally is. Stuff happens.
And
Dumbo is born, stuff happens.
I can only put that to the director because it's not as if, you know, you say like, it feels bad because the actors are acting to nothing and it doesn't work because of that. That's not it. Like there's moments where they're hugging Dumbo and it looks like they're hugging a real elephant. Like that all seems to be there. There's just no heart behind it.
Yeah.
Are there moments of spectacle then? I mean, fine. Okay. Let's accept that this is an empty, shallow husk of Disney money grabbing. I don't know. Let's accept that. Is it ever at least kind of beautiful to look at? Or, I mean, does it earn a live action remake is what I'm asking.
No. I mean, when you see
you
Dumbo
guys
fly,
are giving me nothing.
Yeah, no, this is it. This is the movie gave us nothing. We're there with our hearts on the floor, waiting to be trampled on Disney.
I was ready to cry. I saw that.
He told me before the screening.
I've been telling people. I'm like, I'm so ready to cry. Then not a thing.
Yeah, because Dumbo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the spectacle when he flies, it's great. But then they decide that what the movie needs is to have someone sit on him while he flies, and that then starts to look weird because the physics alone. You know, the uncanny valley of flight of an elephant flying, it works when he's on his own. But when you add someone on the back, it's kind of like, yuck, this looks dodgy.
It's not even like uncanny valley. It just looks bad.
Yeah.
Does Dumbo himself look good?
Yeah. That's why I said it's the artistry is there. It's just that it's like he's another actor in a badly directed movie. He's not being given the material to work with. He looks great. His mother looks great. I think, I don't know whether it's just me, but I can see the elephants from the cartoon in the elephants they show. Like you can see there's two elephants that only show up at one point to kind of scoff at Dumbo. And there's one of them that looks like that real nasty one from the original. Mm-hmm. Just there's a hint of it in the face, but it still looks like an elephant. So the artistry is there. The story just doesn't hang it up. The pacing also, I think, kicked us out of it a bit, right?
There was quite a couple of spots where they just jumped along.
There's a conversation where, like, you know, Michael Keaton's talking to Danny DeVito, and then the conversation jumps outside and onto another subject in a weird-ish way. It doesn't settle into a rhythm.
Even though you have 2 hours to do it?
Yeah. Even that's a sin in this case. And the other thing is that you see hints of, like, Danny DeVito gets a couple of lines. Like, there's a point where there's not even a plot point. This is a recurring thing with a monkey who's constantly stealing his booze. And he's hiding it in a drawer when some bigwig comes to town. He says, is that a monkey in your drawer? He says, yes, but only for emergencies. And there's these hints of little kind of, it works in the movie, but it's funny.
It just felt like that was a Danny DeVito line.
Yeah, and it needed more of that.
It needed more of that, yeah.
All right, so I am thoroughly depressed. We've been talking about Tim Burton's live action remake of Dumbo. Not the happiest movie going experience for you guys, safe to say?
If it wasn't Dumbo, if it didn't have all that on it, I think it might be more enjoyable. But as it is, it doesn't live up to the original.
Yeah, with all the names attached, Disney, Dumbo, Tim Burton, Colin Farrell, McKeaton, DeVito.
Expect more.
All right. If you've watched it, let us know what you think. Skip Intro MY, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the usual spots. Up next, we're going to be talking about Disney's ongoing trend of doing this, basically, to our childhoods. You are listening to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian and Bahe. We heard earlier how the guys basically fundamentally did not really enjoy Dumbo. And of course, Dumbo isn't the only one that's being given this sort of big, showy, non-animated treatment. What do you guys make of that?
I don't know why. I'll just straight up say it. I don't know why.
If you could see Bahe's face, it's just hollow and empty.
I don't know why. Like, I wasn't excited for... I'm not excited for Aladdin, not excited for Lion King, not excited for any... I've got a better version on Netflix at home.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Will Smith as a genie. It does nothing for me.
Mm.
If I can compare Disney to Shakespeare, whenever you get a new adaptation of a Shakespeare movie, they add something for the times.
Mm.
You know, even if you go back, like, even when I was in high school, you watched the Mel Gibson Hamlet, and then, you know, you got the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Yeah.
So they added, you know, they remix it, they do things. These Disney movies don't feel like they're doing that. Some of them are adding a little bit. Some of them are literally retelling the same story. They're just putting it in live action. And that feels unnecessary.
So, friends, I'm going to come out now. As somebody who has enjoyed these live action remakes, here I am. I actually have quite liked... I enjoyed Cinderella. I think I'm not... It's not a popular opinion in this room, but I quite enjoyed...
Cinderella.
There it is. I quite enjoyed Cinderella. I quite enjoyed Beauty and the Beast. And all these things with the caveats of I recognize exactly how I'm being played.
Mm.
You know, they're killing the dog over and over and over again and I'm crying over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like I know what's happening
here.
Yeah. But it's working for me. I mean, it pings all these nostalgic strings. I like imagining myself or thinking of all the other kids who are encountering this for the first time and thinking about how this informs their experience. I loved that Cinderella's big thing was she is kind and that kindness can be a strength. You know, I liked that Belle finally got to wear pants. There are things about it that I enjoy. I mean, I recognize what it is. Mm. They are cheap revisionist versions of Disney fessing up that, hey, we know you love this. We know there were some problems. So I'm just going to reverse engineer and put some pretty people and you'll like it.
Yeah.
But I do. I do like it. Doesn't sound like I like Dumbo, but admittedly. Yeah. But yeah.
I was like amazed at Cinderella that had Helena Bonham Carter in it for so little. Like, you don't put her in your movie and have her be amazing in those 3 minutes she's in it.
Yes, but then Cate Blanchett had a real story.
Yeah.
So there are things to appreciate is all I'm saying.
I didn't like the constant suffering in that movie. It's like, I get enough of that in the real world that I need in the cinema as well.
But I think, and you're right, completely, and I'm not knocking the doing of these versions. I think there is value in it in that other people are going to see it for the first time.
In a cinema.
In a cinema.
Yeah.
Completely accept it, right? And I just don't know why they should keep doing it. Maybe, I don't know.
They got to add more.
They really need to add something.
Add more.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see a shot-for-shot remake of Lion King.
Yeah,
that's very true. And in all fairness, I mean, if you're asking me whether or not I would miss the fact that these, if they never existed, would I be sorrowful and just pine over my favorite movies? No, of course not. But did I enjoy the experience of watching them? I really, really did. Mm. You know.
But when I was putting together the list of the live-action movies, I had to look it up. Like, it didn't come to mind straight away.
No.
Like, whereas I think about Disney, I think about Cinderella, I think about Sleeping Beauty, I think about Snow. Why haven't they done Snow White yet?
No,
but that's
Snow
what
White?
I was thinking.
But it's also interesting that as you mentioned those names, the images that are rattling off in my head
are
the animation pictures, right? And I think that's what it is. And look, these animated movies came out. Look, Dumbo came out in 41.
Yeah.
You know, 47, 56. They're way before my time.
But we're getting into the 90s.
You're right.
We're edging into the 90s. I mean, The Lion King was my very first cinematic experience.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's where I'm coming from.
Gotta feel old.
No, I think that's great. Look, I'm
I think I saw Snow White on a re-release in the early 80s.
Okay, that is old.
Well, that's a whole separate conversation. But I mean, when it comes to... So that I think that's where I'm coming from in terms of kids going to the cinema for the very first time and watching a movie that was made for you.
Yeah.
But also seeing that it is a good, understanding in some way that this is a good movie in its own right.
Yeah.
You know, and Lion King's a modern classic, really.
I just wonder that in trying to hit the beats of nostalgia with fitting some of the songs in and then adding some new stuff that doesn't quite fit, whether they'll lose, because those early movies, it's like the Pixar thing. If you're going to spend 5 years animating and making a movie, you want to make sure it's pretty good. Whereas, like, Dumbo feels like a little bit assembled by committee. I think the other ones that stuck, Beauty and the Beast stuck out a bit as well in my memory as being like decent. And I think the Jungle Book was okay as well, but faded from view pretty quickly as well.
Also, are there no original stories left to tell?
No, that's the other question.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're taking your source mostly from fairy tales, mythology, folk tales, it's such a rich repertoire around the world. Mm. You know, you could just be extending it a little bit more rather than right now we've got what? We've got Aladdin, we've got Lion King, we've got Mulan. We've got just so many, and so many even that we haven't actually mentioned Mulan.
Yeah,
despite the fact that the casting call was, you know, such a big thing.
And also, I think they're kind of, I haven't seen Mulan in a long time, but there's kind of this strange relationship between, as Mulan dresses a guy and her love interest, right?
Well, that's a classic Shakespearean thing.
Yeah. And that's, they're saying they're not going to do that in the new one, because this is also part of Disney's like toning down things that they think now might be problematic and might limit their earning potential.
How is that problematic?
Let's take away the queer elements,
yes,
is what it feels
exactly
like.
The other thing that shows me that they're on a path to nothing is that they're planning to make a live action version of Lilo and Stitch. And I'm like,
what?
No, that's why.
Nobody
would
you
wants
do to that? See Stitch.
No.
Nobody wants to see Stitch in the Stitch. Real world.
Unless he's like Roger Rabbit and he's actually animated, which would be a weird way to take it, but do that.
Yeah.
Don't have him CG. Have him like flat 2D cell animation.
No, I mean, Stitch is genuinely horrifying. Like I love Stitch, but he's genuinely horrifying.
That's a genuinely horrifying image, right?
However, I mean, I wonder whether there's something to be said about representation when we're talking about stories like Aladdin, like Mulan, that are set in places with people who are not lily white, you know, whether or not there is something to be said about being able to see like a real person being a Mulan.
And
as
then get Guy Ritchie to direct it.
Okay, you know what? We're not getting it right all the time, but whether there is something there, right?
Yeah.
Something about actually seeing a South Asian person or an East Asian person playing, you know.
And I think that's something that they should do. I mean, it was a bad trope for a while where you just like take an old classic story and set it in the future in space or on the internet and you can get a new thing out of it. Like they did Treasure Planet, which was live action Treasure Planet. Bring that one in. That'd be great. But do something different. Like, you know, they can do The Lion King, but instead of live action animals, have it set in Russia or something, or have it our actual aboriginals in Australia. Like mix these stories up. You have your copyright protection that they have their stranglehold on. They have all the millions they've made from these movies. Be risky.
Yeah, but you know what I was thinking? That the last time Disney decided to try and like do something that they hadn't done before, but was based on something that they had the rights to, we got Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah,
first one wasn't bad.
Yeah, I know. Yes, and then? And then what happened?
I've been waiting for that Space Mountain movie ever since, and it's never happened.
Yeah, I think on some level, there have been varying degrees of success and varying degrees of failure, right? I think on some level, we all agree that the Maleficent storyline was potentially an interesting one to tell.
Yeah,
and
they're going to do Cruella now as well, which is.
I don't know. I might watch the Cruella one just to know what happened. Maybe, right?
Mm.
I don't need to see another Dalmatians one. Because even now, I know Glenn Close made one, but in my head, it's still the animated series.
Also, whenever they do I think they're planning to do The Hunchback of Notre Dame, and that just sounds like an absolute minefield of problematic filmmaking.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, are they actually going to use the word gypsy?
Don't know.
Yeah, there's just so much. I mean,
There's a room of writers just like trying to figure out, what do we do with this?
If you're going to try and scrub your stories, you know, you're going to run into a lot of situations.
Here's the other question, right? If you're going to do Hunchback of Notre Dame, set it now, where you have issues with the word gypsy.
Yeah.
Where you have these issues that you have to address, as opposed to just not saying it.
Yeah.
You know,
Disney,
and I think that makes
hard
it
by
interesting.
Here. Yeah. Because then it makes the bad guy even more of a racist. Then it's great. But we hate bad guys.
We hate bad guys, right? So that's all cool.
Great. So clearly a room full of people looking forward to all the live action remakes from now until 2050 that Disney has lined up. Let us know what you think. We are on Skip Intro MY on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Talk with us, argue with us, meet us there. And we'll see you again soon, tomorrow, possibly, on Skip Intro BFM 89.9.